Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Cody Thompson.
How's it going, Pat?
I'm doing just fine, Cody. And we have two guests in house today. Karen Amador, our longtime colleague. Hello, Karen.
Hi.
And we've got Tracy Noble on the mic.
Hey there.
You're producing and you're on the mic today.
We've got Matthew,
our engineer in the room too. Hey there, Matt. So we are going to talk about what today? What's our title?
The title is Don't Have Work Friends.
Yes, do not have work friends. We're very clear about that, but not probably in the way you think. What we mean is there's no such thing as a work friend. They're your friends. And we call them work friends, and it's a weird thing. You know, when you think about it, work exists for a variety of reasons and purposes. First, we need to make money to support ourselves and our families. That's very clear. Second, we need to find an outlet for using our God-given gifts. That makes sense. But we also need life-giving relationships with other people, and there is a word for that, and it's friendship. But I worry sometimes that too often we see the relationships we have at work as something less than friendship. We're often discouraged from getting too close to people at work, or we even feel embarrassed to admit that some of our close friends are coworkers. And this is crazy, and this is what we want to talk about today.
That's right, and that's why there's four of us on the podcast. If we could, we'd have our whole company around the table.
That's right. We only have four microphones.
But it's true. I mean, and we obviously picked our best work friends.
No, of course.
You're right, Pat. I mean, so many people in the world think that that distinction, that little hyphenated word work friend, is somewhat embarrassing, or it prevents you from actually engaging with the people that you spend the majority of your day with.
Yeah, and that's the thing, the majority of your day. For many people, we spend 9 hours a day. That wouldn't be out of the picture. Mm-hmm. And to think that, okay, we have these other 2 hours of time other than at home, and we don't have a lot of time to see our friends. Mm-hmm. And then we develop these great relationships with people at work. I hope people do. And then we think, wait, are they really our friends? I mean, we struggled with this at the table group after we'd been working together for 10 years.
I know. Isn't that crazy to think about that? We actually had to ask the question, are we friends? What is this? What is this relationship about? And that is so absurd to me.
When I look across the table, I mean, all of you have known each other for 25 years.
We've grown up together.
Right? 26.
And you all have worked together for 23 or more of those years, you know? And so even entering as a, you know, 6 years ago, it was obvious to me that like, wow, these people grew up together. You have major milestones in your lives that you've shared. And yet, too often in all these other industries and all these other companies, it's like, no, I just see these people every day for 30 years, but they're not my friends.
Yeah. You know? I remember my dad, his closest friends, because, and men are particularly bad at this. You know, I mean, we don't maintain our friendships enough. That's one of the things they say we have to be better at. But his closest friends were at work. Mm-hmm. And when he retired, he didn't see them because I don't think they wanted to admit these are my friends.
Yeah.
And I think that seeps into work life. And the truth is, I've spent more time with you, Karen, and you, Tracy, than anyone other than my wife.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In my life.
That's crazy.
And we always treat each other as, but we're always like, I don't know, what's our relationship? But we finally just threw in the towel. We said, of course we're friends. You're some of my favorite people in the world. We get mad at each other. We celebrate life together. We enjoy each other's company. We laugh like crazy. Mm-hmm. And this whole distinction about just because I know you from work seems ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Right. It becomes your social outlet, honestly. I mean,
and I think that's what we're embarrassed to admit.
Right. I would agree with that. I mean, thankfully I can't remember what it was like to actually have that separated out, because it's just become part of my life and the way that I share things with you. And I come to work and I look forward to like, oh my gosh, I want to share this with Tracy or Pat.
Good things and bad things.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I often tell you guys about the nightmare that I have when you sell the company and you actually sell me. So part of the sale is selling me. So I don't work with you guys anymore. And it's seriously a recurring nightmare that I have. Aww. Because I mean, I love all of you guys. And the fact that I dream like, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss these guys. It's crazy.
I have this nightmare too, where I leave and I'm doing something else. I'm like, what was I thinking?
Exactly.
You know, in fact, the way this company started is I had a job offer. I was an executive at a software company. I had a job offer from a pretty well-known CEO, And I remember driving home one night. I remember I was driving right along in San Francisco along the Embarcadero. Mm-hmm. And it just occurred to me, I'm not leaving my colleagues and my friends.
Right.
We're mm-hmm. going to start a company together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed crazy. But nonetheless, when you talk to people, like, who are your friends? Half the time I'm like, I don't know if I have any friends. And my wife is like, are you kidding?
Right.
You're nuts. You have the best friends possible.
Well, I think it's important to talk about why I think we've gotten to this place. Like, I was thinking about this, that there definitely is more risk there, because when you mm-hmm. are embracing the people that you spend 8 hours a day with as some of your closer friends and you're working together, there have been times where people fall out of, you know, favor with each other in businesses and around mm-hmm. strategic decisions or whatever. You know, in that case, it's like letting a lawyer decide, you know, like right. a lawyer run your company would be like, in the one instance where, or the one out of 20 times that a friendship gets broken because of a business, we should then form our whole lives around that anomaly, you know?
Exactly.
And it's like, man, you're missing out on so much goodness mm-hmm. because you get to see these people. I mean, since I've been here, I've seen all your kids go to college. I've had two kids. To think that we would interact with each other in a way that would exclude those parts because I met you at work is crazy. That's insane.
We're not robots.
We had a really interesting thing happen though when you just had your last baby, Brooks, mm-hmm. because you went out on paternity leave and we didn't call you very much.
Right.
Because we
thought, I didn't call you guys.
Right. And we didn't call you. We were right. No, we didn't want to bother him. But he wasn't calling us to give us updates. And we thought, oh, I guess we're just his work friends. And mm-hmm. you were like, no, I wasn't calling anybody.
Right.
But it was one of those weird things where we were like, oh, are we supposed to actually, if you were my buddy, hell, mm-hmm. I'd have called you. I'd have come over to your house and seen you in your underwear.
Right.
But because we worked together, it was like, what are we supposed to do here?
Yeah.
And it's just such a silly thing. I don't know how it came about.
I've been in, you know, a previous job where a relationship did fall by the wayside because of the way we operated at work. You know, I was friends with someone, we started a company together. And like I said, I think a lot of people say that risk is too great, but the risk reward here is what I think people are not really understanding.
I agree.
The rewards are way higher than the risk. And absolutely. And especially when you come to the table in our framework around vulnerability and sort of like humility, mm-hmm. then it's very rare that someone would violate that friendship or that business relationship and have to break those ties.
Sure, sure. You know, it's interesting. Not long ago, we had an issue with vulnerability here. And I think we talked about it on a podcast a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And it really impacted us. It was rough. It's like, we're not perfect at this and we make mistakes. And we do, you know, there are times when our friendship wavers and it's a vulnerability thing. But we recovered from it, which was a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
and we got stronger because of it.
I think the commitment to the relationship, to our friendship, is what held it together.
And absolutely.
And for the people listening, some people are listening to this and thinking, I don't know that I feel that close to any of the people I work with.
Right.
But others probably feel like, yeah, I do, but I feel like there's this barrier that we're not supposed mm-hmm. to cross over. Mm-hmm. And that only limits what an organization can do. You should have deep relationships with the people you work with.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this is what I love. So many of our podcasts, you know, they toe the line of theoretical and practical. There are real practical advantages to changing your paradigm about work friends and just calling them friends. Like, this is not a theoretical, wouldn't it be nice if all the people you hung out with, you got along with, and you know, you work with, you could become friends with. This is like, we get more done. We cycle. We're more honest with each other. Mm-hmm. We're more direct with each other. We push each other more. And truthfully, we enjoy the nights that we're here late don't seem as mm-hmm. unpalatable because so I'm here with people that I enjoy. Absolutely. There's real practical advantages. This is not something that's like theoretical. Wouldn't this be like a wonderful world where we all hold hands? Like, you shouldn't have work friends. You should find the people in your organization. And you know, you had mentioned something about the organizations that have values. I think this point is really important.
This is critical. Mm.
So tell us what you mean by that and why this actually helps attract the people that you share values with.
I've worked in companies that did not really have values. Even if they had a t-shirt or a poster with something on it, it wasn't real. And so basically it was a crapshoot. They just had people working together and there was nothing really in common that held them together. Mm-hmm. So you just didn't have any idea of like, what is it that brings us both to this company? Mm-hmm. And so it was more like being in a college where you're like, I don't know who these people are. Whereas a company that has real values, and I think the companies with the strongest values mm-hmm. are the ones that have people with the strongest relationships because they start with something in common. Mm-hmm. They're like, these two things or these three things we all share, that's a pretty strong bond. Mm-hmm. It's like meeting somebody at a bar and to go out on a date. Well, all we know is we both like to drink or party. But if you meet somebody at church or you're volunteering for something, there's something going on, you got, oh, we already have a bond. Mm-hmm. So I think that companies with strong values bring people together who already have a reason to have strong relationships.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's a competitive advantage. But there's something else I want to say about all this. And I'm so interested how this came about because I don't think it was intended this way. I think maybe lawyers brought it about because the fear of lawsuits. Because if you think about the word company, somebody chose that word. They said, hey, let's all get together and we'll start a business and we'll do this. Years and years ago, somebody said, let's call it a company. And that word comes from the Latin for breaking bread, compagnie. So they said, we're going to get together and we'll name this venture after the process of breaking bread together. Mm-hmm. So we are meant, you know, and they say the company you keep. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, but when you work at a company, you're not supposed to keep company with the people you work with. That's silly. And right. I think it's really been bad for society.
You know, you'd mentioned sort of the personal embarrassment of actually having to say that, you know, yeah. like of saying like, these are my friends who I found at my work. You know, we've shed almost all that here. You know, I look around this table and I'm like, yeah, these are my friends. I'm younger than you guys. I wasn't here at the beginning, but I care about each and every one of you. Mm-hmm. And Karen, you had just mentioned, you know, about even considering the idea of one day retiring.
Well, you were talking about you really wanted to quit, but you missed too much.
No, I mean, someday, obviously, I've been here 22 years, so there's going to be a day when I have to retire. And that's going to be a huge bummer. I mean, I love the work I do, but more importantly, I love the friendships that I have here. And I was kind of half joking in my mind, but it was like, I'm not going to have any more friends when I leave, you know?
We'll still be your friends.
What am I going to do when I leave the table group? No, but it's true. I mean, this has been such a life-giving opportunity for all of us, I think. And you said something earlier about values. It's wonderful to know that you have something in common here at the table group or in this company. And sometimes when I leave, I actually find myself missing that outside.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I can't wait to come back because I'll be with people that I feel comfortable with and I have something in common with.
Right.
It's very important.
It would be so interesting to you know, if somebody said, hey, you need to go find a friend, right? You know, like you need to find a new friend. I would probably say, I'd probably look at a club or something like, where do we have shared interests? And maybe it's an entrepreneur, you know? So here, when you talk about values, it's like, this is a club with shared interests. All the people around this table love making work fulfilling for other people. We're driven by that. We're entrepreneurial. We're humble, hungry, smart. I mean, there's like a dozen filters where we bring people in that are like, you should probably like each other. I mean, you have similar interests in common.
You know, I think the larger the company, the more common it is for people not to feel like they're actually friends.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's true.
I think the smaller ones are like, of course we are. And right. You know, I think that the thing we have to do, whether if you're sitting out there listening to this and you're at a company where you feel like this isn't encouraged, I'm going to give people something I want them to do.
Yeah.
And that's go find somebody you work with that you particularly enjoy spending time with and go tell them, if you didn't work here, my job experience would be a lot less. Mm-hmm. That's the beginning of kind of nurturing that relationship. I don't want that to sound soft, but just go to somebody and say, working here is great. I consider you my friend.
Right.
And it will feel weird and uncomfortable. I can, even as I say that, I feel like it's going to sound dorky, but let that person know.
Right.
Yeah. You know, when people say you're not supposed to date people at work, we were going to title this, you know, taboo relationships at work, but Matthew thought that sounded too racy, you know, and too, but the thing is, imagine you were working someplace and you were single and you struck up a relationship with somebody who wanted to date them. Who in the world would not do that because of company policy?
Right.
As though, well, violating company policy isn't worth finding the love of my life.
Right.
Well, friendships are the same thing. Mm-hmm. And even though there's not a company policy around it, there's this unspoken rule that's like, come to work, get your job done, and don't talk to people about their personal lives. It's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. So Pat, that brings me to an interesting question. When we talk about being friends with the, not work friends, but real friends, are there any boundaries to those relationships?
Absolutely not. No, yeah, of course there are. There's the boundaries of decency and the boundaries of emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. Tracy, you had somebody violate one of your boundaries at work once. We shouldn't joke about this, since it's been over 20 years, maybe she can
cringe.
I was asked by one of my managers to go hot tubbing with he and his wife.
Wow.
Yes.
That's not a work friend.
No.
There's a few boundaries just, there, Viola.
Inappropriate. It was very awkward.
I know. We only laugh about it now, but at the time it was just crazy.
But as crazy as that is, you know, like there, when we talk about this, like I've asked Karen, I've asked Tracy, I've asked Pat about things that are going on with me and my wife at home or big decisions that we've made around big purchases, you know.
Sure.
And I've brought you in on those conversations. And it's interesting, like, I don't know who else I would go to. You know, Tracy, you're one of my go-to people around that. And
yeah, and it's totally appropriate. It's not weird.
Right.
You don't ask me weird questions. It's just we have a friendship.
Yeah.
And you ask me for advice, and that's a wonderful thing.
And, you know, it's funny because there's been like a dozen nights in the last year where I'm at home and I'm so appreciative. We've been working together on a project that I'll send you a text at night that's just like, hey, I'm so grateful to work with you and alongside of you. And you do so much for me. I just don't think enough people have that type of relationship. And what I liked about what you said, Pat, is like, go tell them, because too often we aren't intentional about that. And it's like, we go to happy hour together, and that's sort of a generic time to hang out, but to not call it, let's go do something together, you know, like let's hang out, not to formalize a relationship. It's like, oh, there's this hour that we hang out with people at work. Mm-hmm. But going and telling someone at your organization, you make my job more enjoyable, and doing that, like Tracy, I like being able to do that for you because it's true.
And it's worth so much.
Nobody is embarrassed to hear it.
No.
Right.
We're embarrassed to say it sometimes or to think about it. But man, when somebody tells you that, you're like,
the impact is huge.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about one of the other reasons why people go to work, and that's because they need to use their gifts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we want to tell everybody about an event coming up that's all about that. Cody and Tracy, you own this, so tell us about this.
You're being a little coy here. I'm going to take over because we have been, as we think about podcast topics, there is one thing that's been going on at the table group that has consumed our attention almost more than anything, and we haven't been able to talk about it yet. Mm-hmm. And that is, Pat, you have come up with this new model that is changing the way that we're working here. And of all the models, the five dysfunctions, the org health model, the ideal team player, this one has taken our office by storm. Like, we use it every single day. It's called the six types of working genius. And you came up with this 3 months ago, and we have dedicated hours of time and focus and energy. And we are in the process of getting a assessment and product around that model out to the world. And the very first thing that the first public keynote you're going to give on October 30th around that model. And we want everyone on this podcast, we're going to put this at the end of this podcast and in the middle of some other ones, because I don't want anyone to miss it.
Yeah, please mark your calendar for October 30th. We'd really love you to join us for that.
And we'll announce it. We have the registration page being set up this week. So it won't be live when you hear this, but we'll announce it a couple more times. And we'd love for everyone on this podcast to go not only register for that, but tell friends about it. And then we're going to do every podcast episode for a month, I think, on it, because so excited about it.
And you and Tracy and Matt have been working on this for months. It's been a blast. And we are so excited to share it with everybody. So just write that down. Put it in your calendar. October 30th, what is going to be like 10 a.m.
Yep.
Because Pacific time. We wouldn't want you to miss it. Because you're our friends, and we're not afraid to say that.
That's right.
All right. Well, I think that brings us to the end of our podcast today. This one seems a little soft, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that makes a difference. And you know, you work for a lot of reasons. And if at the end of the day, if you can go home and say, I got to spend 9 hours with some good friends, man, that's a difference maker in life.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All righty. Thanks for joining us, Karen, Tracy,
pleasure.
Matt, Cody. We'll see everybody next week on At the Table. God bless.